Chapter 4. Of course they weren't there yet. Without revealing too much about the location, I can say that the restaurant was hidden from the street by a row of trees. We were half an hour late already, and as we crossed the gravel path to the entrance, lit on both sides by electric torches, my wife and I discussed the possibility that for once, just this once, it might be us and not the Lomans who arrived last. "Want to bet?" I said. "Why should I?" Claire said. "I'm telling you, they're not there." A girl in a black T-shirt and black floor-length pinafore took our coats. Another girl, in the same black outfit, was flipping through the reservations book lying open on a lectern. She was only pretending not to recognise the name Loman, I saw, and pretending badly at that. "Loman, was it?" She raised an eyebrow and made no effort to hide her disappointment at the fact that it wasn't Serge Loman standing there in real life, but two people whose faces meant nothing to her. I could have helped out by saying that Serge Loman was on his way, but I didn't. The lectern with book was lit from above by a thin copper-coloured reading lamp. Art Deco or some other style that happened to be just in or just out of fashion at the moment. The girl's hair, black as the T-shirt and pinafore, was tightly tied up at the back in a wispy ponytail, as though it, too, had been designed to fit in with the restaurant's house style. The girl who had taken our coats wore her hair in the same tight ponytail. Perhaps it had something to do with regulations, I thought to myself. Hygiene regulations, like surgical masks in an operating room. After all, this restaurant prided itself on serving all organic products. The meat came from actual animals, but only animals that had led a good life. Across the top of the tight black hairdos, I glanced at the dining room, or at least at the first two or three visible tables. To the left of the entrance was the open kitchen.